Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Hey. We will begin on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had learned the Machlokes, Tana Kama and Reb Yosi. What is the halacha when somebody encircled somebody else by making walls, and the person had been encircled had not participated in the building of the walls, but now he was encircled first by three walls, and now he was encircled by a fourth wall. And now Mishnah said that under certain circumstances, the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yossi will hold that he has to participate in the building, in the payment for those walls. And the Gemara gave a number of ways of understanding the Machloikus, but the common denominator of all of those explanations in understanding that Machloikus was that the Tana Kama was the more lenient opinion than Rabbi Yossi. Begins our shiur today with Lishna Achrina, and the difference between the Lishna Achrina, and that's why the Mishnah, that's why the Gemara uses the word Lishna Achrina and not the words Ibayis Eima, which the Gemara has been using throughout and explaining the Machloikus, the different explanations of the Machloikus, because this version takes a very different approach to this question. And this version has that the Tana Kama is more machmer than Rabbi Yossi. Lishna achrina makif and nikav ikav menayu. The basis of the Machloikus, Tana Kama and Rabbi Yossi, is about who built the fourth wall. Tanakam's opinion is, igod the makif servius, even if the person who put up the fourth wall is the first three walls, is the person who put up the fourth wall, the halacha still will be, according to the Tanakama, nami yovle, that now the person who has been surrounded with walls will have to participate in the building of the walls. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, which is a more lenient opinion, as we said, if the person who was surrounded built the fourth wall, so that shows that he is satisfied and wants this wall here, that's when the halacha requires him, who the Yavle, to participate in the cost of the walls. The goli died because he has shown the nichalei that he is satisfied with these walls. Avalim got the makif, it was the person who built the walls who puts up the fourth wall, then Rabbi Yossi will hold the lo yavle, meaning the person who was encircled will not have to participate in any way in that, because he didn't show that he is satisfied with that. Even though I saw that the Rishonim ask that the Gemara throughout Shas seems to indicate that when we have two opinions in a Mishnah, then typically the second Tana is the more machmer, and here we have the second Tana, Rabbi Yossi, the second Tana mentioned in the Mishnah being the one that's more makel, that's more lenient. So I saw that the Mitzvah Eisen, in answer to this question, says that since in our Mishnah, the Tana Kama, as we've been learning throughout a shiur, is not being very clear in what his opinion really is. Since he's not being very clear in what his opinion is, that's why the halacha is that we could say that Rabbi Tana Kama is the machmer and Rabbi Yossi is the makel. Says the Gemara, Runya akfe Ravinam aber chusav. Runya put a wall up around Ravina's Runya had a property. Akfe Ravinam aber chusav. Ravina put a wall around his property. Amalei, and Ravina said to Runya, Havli kama de gardi. Give me half of what it cost me. Says the Gemara, lo yavle. He didn't give him any money. So Ravina said to Runya, Havli lefi konem bezol. I built a stone wall or whatever, brick wall. I'm not going to ask you to pay as if it was a stone, for the price of a stone wall. I'll take as if it was a wall made out of sticks, which is obviously cheaper. And still says the Gemara, lo yavle, he didn't want to pay for that. So he says, Havli agana terusa. At least pay me how much you would pay for a security guard here. Still says the Gemara, La Yavle. Says the Gemara, Yom Echad have a Gadadikli. One day, Runya was collecting dates off his palm tree. Amalei Larissa, so Ravina saw what was going on. And Ravina said to his sharecropper, to his farmer, Zil Shkomene Kibur Dahani, go take some dates for me. Ozla Suye. So this farmer went to pick those dates on behalf of Ravina. And Rama Beikala, when Runya saw what was going on, he raised his voice. Amalei. So now Ravina says to Runya, why did you raise your voice? Because obviously you want your property, your trees, protected. And you don't want me just coming and taking things from your... You don't want me just coming and taking things from your property. Goli daitach, you've shown the Mnei Nichalach, that you're very satisfied with this wall. So he said to him, Lo yehei eli izim ba'alma, if it was just animals that were wandering into the field, wouldn't you want your field protected? Milai boy in the Terusa, wouldn't you want it protected? Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Runya responded to Ravina, Izab Amalav Lachluyabaye, from a goat that walks into my property, I don't need to have a wall. I could just raise my voice to chase it away. Says the Mar Amalei, Vlaigavrabayas the Michlalei, don't you need, yes, raising the voice will be satisfactory, adequate to chase away the goats, but you have to have somebody to do so. So says the Gemara, Amalei, also, so now Ravina saw that he's not getting anywhere with Runya. Whatever he says to Runya, it doesn't make a difference. Runya is still refusing, Runya is refusing to pay. So they came to Rava for Din Torah. And Amalei and Rava said to Runya, Zil paise b'may despais. Go pay him with the smallest amount that he was willing to take. That means Ravina had suggested that he's willing to take as payment just the cost of a guard. You have to give him at least that much. Filoi, because if you won't give him that much, then Dina, I will say you have to pay Kerafuna Livdra. Do I see that you're going to have to pay half? So if you don't want to do that much, so at least take that offer. So the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. How do we understand how Rava approached this question? If indeed the halacha is that Runya has to pay half of all the money that Ravina laid out, so why is he saying to him, well, at least take the offer Ravina made, otherwise I'll make you pay more? And if that's not the halacha, so what is Rava saying? So the Yad Ramai answers a very interesting teretz. He says, certainly the halacha is like Rav Huna. And certainly the straight halacha, according to Rav, is like Rav Huna, that you have to pay your half of everything that was laid out. However, once the other side, the other litigant and the dentator made an offer, which is to your favor, the Beis Din takes that offer and works with that offer. And that is actually the opinion of the Ramah, Chosha Mishpat Simon Yud Zayin Sif Yud Beis, that even though the Dayan sees and knows that you really should be paying more, if your opponent is willing to take what he's willing to take, so then you're satisfied with that, and that's the basis of the Din Torah, not the full amount that's really owed. Says my Runya Zovan Ara Mitzvah Ravina. Runya bought a property on the border of Ravina. Sov Ravina Lusluke. And Ravina wanted to tell him that you have no right to buy this property. Because as we learned quite extensively in Masechet Bava Metzia, based on the pasuk of Asisa Hayoshev Ratoiv, there's a halacha bar mitzvah that if I am the neighbor to a property, I have first right of refusal to that property before anybody else. So Ravina, the Gemara said, had right of first refusal on that property, and he told Runya, Mishundabin the Bar Metzra, I get this property to that you. Says the Gemara Amle Rav Safra of Rei, the Rav Yebel Ravina. Amri Incha, people say Arbala Tzila. Somebody who does business with shoes and has to buy leather pays 4 zuzim for the leather, for Arbala Tzlala, and he also has to pay, this is Rashi's Pshat, he also has to pay another 4 zuz to the people who work the leather to make the shoe. So what Rashi says is that what they were saying to Ravina is that Runya is a very poor person because he's in the business of selling shoes. And the business of selling shoes is a very not profitable, as we just learned. And therefore, have compassion on Runya and let him keep this field, even though maybe you have a claim on the field. So Tosfos asked the obvious question. The obvious question is that the halacha is that ein merachme b'din, that the halacha is the halacha is cold. The halacha is the halacha. So why should Ravina give up his rights? So Rashi gives another pshat that the pshat here is that what it meant is tzala and tzala mean rich and poor. And what he was saying to Runya, to Ravina, is that even though according to the letter of the law you are entitled to keep this property, but Runya is a small businessman and he doesn't have any rights. Therefore help him out. Another pshat is that what really happened here, which is a question in all situations of a bar mitzvah. What happens if there are two neighbors? So who has first rights? So one of the ways of determining that question is by looking who has more, who's more of a neighbor than the other. And what happened here was Ravina was a neighbor from three sides, and Runya was a neighbor from one side. So even though by right Runya is a bar mitzvah, he's just not as much of a bar mitzvah as Ravina. So therefore, the halacha ought to be that Ravina should prevail in the Dantara. But the Gemara was saying is that since he has some claim, let him win. Another pshat that I saw is that the difference between a tzala is somebody who works out in the heat and the sun, and tzala is the one that works indoors. So he was saying to Ravina, Runya works all the time outdoors. So him having a field outdoors is much more important than you who don't work normally outdoors, and therefore let him have the field. Says the Mishnah, Kaisel Chatzar, if there's a wall around the Chatzar, Shanafal, that fell down, we require that they rebuild the wall. How high is the wall need to be to prevent Hezekiah that we've been discussing in our shiurim? The wall has to be at up to 4 arms tall. Says the Mishnah, if after the wall was built, one of them says that I built the wall all by myself, and therefore the other neighbor has to give the half that he gave, and the other neighbor says I did. So the halacha is b'cheskes anasan. We could assume that he gave at Shaviraya, unless the other partner could definitively prove Shloy Nasan. Me'arab Amos Lamala, but if the wall was higher than 4 Amos, Emechayven I say, then we can't force him to build the wall. And he could always claim, I never agreed to this high wall. However, says the Mishnah, if after one of these two partners built the wall of higher than 4 tefachim by himself, now the other neighbor, Samach Loi Kaisel Acher, built a parallel wall to the first wall, Abishloi Nosanov as a Tekra, and obviously what his goal is, that he wants to put a ceiling and connect the two walls. The halacha is, once he makes a parallel wall at that height, then the halacha is Megagalon as a kol, we make him pay for the entire wall, for the share in that entire wall, not up to Dalet Amis, because he obviously is satisfied with that wall, and since he's satisfied with that wall, that's why he has to pay it. So the Achrayim explain that even though we don't know, as we'll see in the Gemara, that even though he can make claims, Chasam Sofer makes this point also, even if he's going to say that I'm not going to put a ceiling across the two walls, if it's obvious that that's what he's going to do, then we could already make him pay. Says the Gemara. So Tosfos asks, before we go further, Tosfos asks a question. We learned in Masechta Bava Kamma that there's rules zeh nenav zeh lechaser, that if I benefit but you have nothing to lose, you can't have a claim to me. So here, when the first one built the wall, he built the wall because he was satisfied with that wall. He wanted that wall. So yes, now I'm benefiting. Why is that not considered zeh nenav zeh lechaser? He says that, so Tosfos answers, this is the way the Tosfos explains. He says, zeh nenav zeh lechaser is when the zeh lechaser came later. But when the person who built the wall, and he built the wall higher than 4 amos. Why did he build the wall higher than 4 amos? Because he wanted to have total better protection from Hezekria. So the moment the wall was built at that height, the other neighbor also benefited. It's not that the lechaser, it's not that the benefit came later. The benefit was there from the outset. When the benefit is there from the outset, that's not called zeh nenav zeh lechaser. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, b'cheske shloi nason, so since this person has refused and has not been obligated to pay, the halacha is, we could assume he didn't pay, at shavi raish nason, until we can know he paid. So the Rishonim make a very interesting point. If the person who's putting up the other wall is a Talmud Chacham, and he knows that based on the halacha of our Mishnah, he's going to have to pay, so why are we saying b'cheske shloi nason, we assume he didn't pay? Because he didn't want to pay. But this person knows that the halacha requires him to pay. So since the halacha requires him to pay, why shouldn't we assume that he paid? So answers the Yad Ramah. This person knows that the halacha requires him to pay. But this person also knows that by paying too early, based on what we just learned in the Mishnah, he's really exposing himself that maybe the other side could say, you didn't pay. And so even though he's a Talmud Chacham, the same way that he's a Talmud Chacham and he knows he's going to have to pay, he's also a Talmud Chacham to know that it's not to his benefit to pay too early. And therefore, the assumption is that he didn't pay. Says the Gemara, based on this halacha, Amar Reish Lakish, HaKaveyaz Man L'Chaveroi, if somebody made up that he has to pay a loan by a certain time, Amalai, and then the loiva says, Puraticha b'toichzmani, I prepaid you, ain't a neman. Why? Because the chazok is v'lvai sh'yifr b'zmanoi. The halacha is that people should get paid and pay in time. There's no reason to assume he paid earlier. So I saw that Rav Shimon Shkop in the Sefer Shari Yosha asks a question that we know that there's a halacha by Mammon and Hochem and Mammon Acharoiv. We don't even follow the Roiv, which is a very strong method, and halacha is not followed by Dina Mammonis. Chazaka is certainly not followed. So if that's the case, why over here the fact that we're saying that there's a chazaka that people don't prepay is enough to assume that he didn't pay? So says Rav Shimon, he says, first of all, this should not be considered a chazaka. This should be considered a roiv. Since most people don't prepay, it's not just a chazaka that they don't prepay. It's a roiv that they don't prepay. And moreover, says Rav Shimon, that this is a very strong roiv. It's not your regular roiv. And since it's not your regular roiv, That's not, since it's not your regular roiv, then over here we follow this very strong roiv and assume that he didn't prepay. Tosfos, however, points out there are two types of due dates by a loan. Sometimes you borrow money and you set a date by when you're going to pay the money. And sometimes there's no dates, that date set. And we know the halacha is that when there is no date set, so we say throughout Chas that Stam Milva, that your average loan is Shloishim Yoyim, is for 30 days. Says Tosfos, in a case where there was a date set, so there, what does it mean? So Tosfos explains, what that means is that this person who borrowed the money and set the date, the reason he set the date is because he knows he really doesn't have the ability to pay before. And since he knows he doesn't have to pay, he won't have the ability to pay before, we have a chazaka that ain't odna parei b'toich smanai. But when somebody borrows money without a specific due date, so even though we know that the halacha says that he has to pay it by day 30, that's only a fallback position. The real due date is to pay back as soon as possible. And therefore, says Tosfos, that only by, where was this chazaka said? The chazaka ain't odna parei b'toich smanai. That's only by a loan with a due date. But a loan without a due date, says Tosfos, the halacha will be that you, if you say that you paid before, that date, so there he will be believed. Because since he didn't pay, since he didn't make a due date, it's clear what he meant to say is that he wants to pay, he will and wants to pay as soon as possible, says the Gemara. But Abai and Rava disagree. Abai and Rava say that Amri Tavayu, Ovid Inish the Parabikoizmane, people do pay before. Zimnin, because Zimnin Zamile Zuze, sometimes a person borrows money, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps and he has funds. And what does he do as soon as he has funds available? Vama Ezel Efri, I want to pay up my loan. So Tosfos says that even though Abai and Rava just said that sometimes people pay up before, that's only in a case like our Gemara, where he's certain that he's going to have to pay. You borrowed money, it's certain that you're going to have to pay. The question is, do people prepay or people do not prepay? By the way, something where it's not for certain that you're going to have to pay, for example, when somebody has a son, a Bechor, and you have to do a pidyon haben by day 30. But there's a possibility, Rachman Litzlon, that child will die before day 30 and he won't be chayv in a pidyon haben. Or if you rent a home and something will happen that will, and the halacha, as we'll see in our Gemara, is schiris eina mishalemis el besoif, that you don't have to pay till the end of your term, so then something might happen that you won't have to pay. And therefore, in those cases, says Tosfos, even Abaya and Rava say that ain't on the prayer chayvet toich zman. There's an interesting question based on this that the Cheshuka Echem discusses, that a person lives in a co-op in a condominium and he has to pay maintenance fee. And the maintenance fee is due whenever it's due. Can we say that a person said, and now a person says that he prepaid his maintenance fee. Do we believe him? How do we look at it? Do we look at it like a chayv? Furthermore, do we look at it like a chayv that has no due date? Or do we look at it like a chayv that has a due date, and therefore the person is not believed? Or do we look at it like a pinyan haben? How do we look at it? So the Cheshuka Echem's approach to this question is that a person who's paying for maintenance fees towards a condominium or towards anything like that, he has benefit from the maintenance fees that he's paying. The benefit that he has from those maintenance fees is that the property, the home that he lives in, can be properly maintained, and whatever they need to do, they'll have the funds to be able to do with it. So he suggests that whenever there's a situation where I have what to gain by doing so, then the halacha is that we do say that there is an assumption that maybe he paid earlier, and we don't apply the concept of Ein Adam Pareya Chayv B'Toyach Zmanon. Ask the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah that if one of the Shutfim built the wall, and he's asking the other one to pay his share, and the other one says that he already paid it, so the Mishnah said, up to four Amis, is B'cheska Shenoson, we assume that he gave. Until the other person could prove that he did not give what he has to give. So ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the case of our Mishnah? Ilema, it will say, Domele Praticha Bezmani, that I paid you after the four Amma war was built. I paid what I was supposed to pay. So of course, Pshita B'cheska Shenoson, as we just learned, that if a person owes money and it's past the due date, the assumption is that a person paid it. Must be that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where he said, not only did I paid before I was obligated to pay. So ask the Gemara, isn't this a question what Rish Lakish has told us now, Alma, that people offer inish the pari b'toich zman, that people do pay up earlier. Answers the Gemara, this is not a raya. Shani hocha, the kol shof of a shef de zimnihu. When do you have to pay? As every brick is laid, you have to pay. So since as every brick is paid, is put on, you have to pay. So then the halacha is that the time comes. And this opens up a question in halacha. When is the due date for different obligations? The achroinim, the nesivus, and the ketzais speak about somebody who was hired to ride a brook. And the question is, when is it considered that I have to pay for the book, that it should be considered toichsman or achazman? The Nesiva says that every chapter of the book is considered a separate, is considered separate, and therefore it's due as it's finished. And therefore, if the person says I paid after that chapter was finished, then it's not considered he paid b'toichsman. The tzois disagrees. The tzois says that it's the obligation to pay is only as the book is finished. So this question, this machlokes of the nesivus and the tzois, has ramifications regarding a question that we discussed extensively in Masechta Bava Metzia. There's halacha that once I hire somebody to do something on my behalf, when he finishes doing it, then the halach is I have to pay him. If I don't pay him in the way the Torah described, I'm over the lav of baltolin. And the question is, if the nesiva says that I'm obligated to pay as the chapter is finished, so the day the chapter is finished and I'm notified that it's finished and I have to pay for it, if I won't pay, I'll be over loy solin. But according to the ketzais, I'm not obligated to pay until the entire sefer is finished. And since I'm not obligated to pay until the tayyib sefer is finished, I won't be violating Baal Tullin until the tayyib sefer is finished. But it's interesting to point out that even though we just had this machloikus achroinim, when are you obligated to pay for a book? It goes without saying, this is only if there's no contract and stipulations on the payment. If there's contract and stipulations when I'm going to have to pay you, so then of course I have to follow the contract and the stipulation. We're only speaking about a situation where there is no such agreement. But it's interesting to point out that even though we just had the machlokes of the ketzais and the nesivus, where the nesivus says every chapter is considered the end of a specific job, and the ketzais says only at the end of the sefer, everybody agrees that, again, in the absence of a different agreement by a sefer Torah, the obligation to pay for the Sefer Torah, we don't look at every Yuria or every Sedra or every Sefer as separate. The Sefer Torah is considered one big Sefer, and it's not considered finished until the entire Sefer Torah is finished. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke about a case where the partner, where a neighbor made the wall higher than Dal Amis. The halacha is that I don't have to participate. The other neighbor doesn't have to participate. But said the Mishnah, if the neighbor now made a wall that's higher, a parallel wall, that he's going to have to pay. And there the Mishnah says, we could assume that he didn't pay until he could prove that he did pay. So again, ask the Gemara, hechidami, that I built my wall, and the moment I build my wall, I have to give you for your wall. So now that I'm obligated to pay, so why am I loy? Why am I not believed when I say that I did pay? He says, I paid you before, and the Mishnah says that I'm not believed to say I paid you. Alma, the loy of it inish, the parbegaz money, that we could assume that people don't pay before they have to pay. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is not a raya. Shani hocha, the Oma, miyem the mechayvili rabbonin. It's not clear cut that I'm going to have to pay for this, for the wall that you put up, given the reasons that we had and the reasons that we will have. And therefore, the person, nobody's paying something that he may not have to pay. Says the Gemara, Pavar of Hunabred Yeshua, Avdi Kabai Verova. They paskin like Rabbi Rava that people do prepay. Ma bravashi ovid kresh lakish. Says the Gemara, and the halach is like Rish Lakish, that the assumption is that people don't prepay. Afilu miyasmi, even though we have throughout Shas that Chazal were very protective of Yisoymim and are very reluctant to make Yisoymim pay unless we could be certain that they're obligated to pay. Says the Gemara, here we're so certain that if somebody, it was pre the time that they had to pay, and then they passed away, we can be certain that they didn't pay, and therefore the halacha will be that even the Yisoymim would have to pay. But we have here Machloikus Rishonim. Who are the Yisoymim that are being referred to, that even though we are reluctant and we're not quick to make Yisoymim pay, here we'll make Yisoymim pay. So Tosfos in Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion is that it's only from Yisoymim Gedolim. But Yisoymim Ketanim, even with the logic that the Gemara is explaining, we wouldn't be able to collect from Yisoymim Ketanim. The Ramban and the Rashba disagree. And their opinion is that the Svara of the Gemara we just learned is so strong that not only can we use the Svara to collect from Yisoymim Gedolim, but we even can collect from Yisoymim Ketanim. The Avgav Damamar, and the Gemara explains itself, even though we've learned many times, Habali Param Nitzah Yisarimim Leparal B'Shvua, we can't collect from Yisarimim without a Shvua. Here, Chazok Le'ovet Inish Depar because money, we could be certain that a person doesn't prepay. We could be certain that he doesn't prepay, and therefore the halacha is that we'll collect this money from the Yisarimim even without a Shvua. There is a machloikus rishonim. What's going to be the halacha if a claim is made that we do know our father prepaid? The Gemara is working with a very strong assumption that there is no prepayment. But what happens if the assignment claim that we actually did prepay? So some rishonim say it doesn't make a difference. The svar that we're learning in the Gemara is so strong that there won't be a shvur necessary. But there are other rishonim that say everything that we just learned in the Gemara is only in a situation where we can't be certain what actually happened. So since we can't be certain what exactly happened, so we assume that it wasn't prepaid. But if there's a claim, a definite claim that there was prepayment, then a shvu would be necessary.